thunder, 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 thunder. Oh!
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
Thunder nerds,
thunder nerds,
thunder nerds.
Get those nerds!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds. I'm Brian Hampton.
I'm Janelle Pizarro.
And I'm Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do.
You tech good.
Ah!
Ooh,
yeah.
I just thought of something.
What's that?
We are really loud and there's doors that are open.
Okay, Janelle's going to close doors. It's exciting. This is live.
Live door closing.
Live door closing.
You saw it here.
Yeah. Hey, and we are talking with, and maybe you want to go to the one thing first.
Oh, yes. We're at the Front End Design Conference, day two, and we're finishing up our interviews with all the speakers. We're in St. Pete at the Palladian. Palladian.
And it's the 10th year anniversary.
Every episode he does that. And every episode bothers me a little for some reason. But yeah, check out all of our recordings. We interviewed all the speakers, and I think we've got them all. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. And that's the sub intro. So, Frederick.
Yes, and we are talking today at this very moment with Berman Painter. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
I really like those glasses. They are very sharp and handsome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What brand are those?
Oh, man.
I have no idea. OG8, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Nice. Yeah.
I dig them a lot.
I like them.
Yeah.
They fit my fat head.
Ah, nice.
Oh,
looks like you have a fat head. You got a lot of information in that head.
It is. It's like full of info and curls.
Info and curls.
Yes!
I like that.
Full of info and curls. I like that.
From my understanding, you were a root beer drinker.
I do enjoy some good root beer.
Just reading off things. I thought root beer drinking was interesting. Cupcake eater, Spanish speaker.
Oh,
are we the same person?
We might just be.
Oh my gosh, we're the same person.
Like, tin my hair.
Like,
solid. I have boots.
Yeah.
They're nice.
Ah.
We need to move. We're now the same people now.
All right.
So we
Sorry.
Have to sit next to each other. We're twins that are missing at birth, obviously.
So tell us a little bit about you and what you do professionally.
Sure. So I started out in graphic design a long time ago, migrated into web design,
right,
and then kind of grew into development work. So I've done a mix of startups and enterprise and banks and consulting. I currently work for Ernst & Young, helping build out one of their waste-based studios that they're building out. So hiring a team there, growing the capability, and hanging out in Charlotte, drinking root beer, eating cupcakes.
What else would you do in Charlotte? Really?
That's really
really.
I've heard that's all people do in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Root beer and cupcakes. Yes. Yeah. Pretty solid.
I'm sure you really love the shots from yesterday, then.
Oh, yeah.
I missed it.
Was there one with root beer?
I was having to be a sponsor. Yeah.
Because I feel like that would be like the ultimate combination for you. Like a shot with root beer and a cupcake on top.
That sounds pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a company in New York that makes root beer flavored cupcakes.
Wow.
Oh, dude, that must be confusing for
it
you.
Is.
You're like, hey, wait, is this it? What am I?
It's good. Like you
it's
what's going on?
You eat the root beer cupcake, drink the root beer, and then it just all kind of washes down this magical root beer
cupcake-iness.
Yeah. It's amazing. I dig it.
So do you mind telling us a little bit of what your day today is?
So right now, I just started this new job. So there's a lot of, this is week 7, finishing week 6.
Oh, orientation. Yeah, absolutely, congrats.
And there were, 2 weeks of orientation.
Uh-huh.
And traveling a good bit. So going to events like this, going to client sites. And day-to-day is basically, what have I got myself into? And trying to calm myself down a bit. And then talking to people about wanting to come work with us, and then talking to some of the partners in the company around what we're going to do in Charlotte, because it's brand new. Space isn't ready yet, so it's going to launch next year.
Yeah.
And then I go home and talk to my wife,
eat cupcakes
and drink root beer.
Yeah.
This is a full cycle.
That's a good life.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
So I dig it. We just eat and drink cupcakes in Spanish. I think that's totally different.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Hey, you have a slight accent. Where are you? I recognize some sort of.
I'm From Alabama.
Ah, that's what
like
it is.
Like the yeah. Deep South.
Yeah, you have that's a awesome. You have a little Southern accent.
There's a little bit in there.
Yeah.
I lived out west for a while, so there's a little bit of that there. Lived in South America for a while, so some of that in there.
You need to, you need to go to like London now and get a little bit of that.
I'm not sure my accent would do. It would struggle.
Oh my gosh, that would sound like Antonio Banderas went to Georgia.
I could not imagine it, honestly. He has this like inflection.
Doing the new Picasso movie.
That looks really tight.
That's
looks
what
awesome.
I thought about.
Doesn't look like him at all.
Cool.
It looks like Picasso. I'm like, is that Picasso?
Yeah, he's a very talented actor. So, your talk that you've already had today,
yes.
Rapid prototyping with Vue.
Yes.
That sounds pretty interesting. Do you mind sharing a little bit?
I can give you an overview, if you would like.
Overview? Yeah, did you get that?
Oh, God.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes, in the joke world.
So quick overview is, in the front end space, there's a handful of frameworks that we use to build software and things that we do. One of those happens to be Vue. It's one of the newer ones that's come out. And the intent is to take some of these complex interfaces that you're trying to build.
And they're JavaScript frameworks.
They're JavaScript frameworks.
Just to clarify.
Yeah. JavaScript frameworks. So you're using a JavaScript framework to break down what you're doing into what they call components. And that's pretty consistent across various frameworks that exist now. Vue is a little bit different. So Angular was kind of one of the first big ones that gained a lot of traction. There were many before that, Backbone and some other ones.
Sure.
Ember came out. Ember's great. I love some Ember. I have a Rails background.
I do work in Ember.
Okay,
yes.
Nice. So I did a lot of Rails in the beginning, and like Ember felt like JavaScript Rails.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very opinionated.
It is JavaScript on Rails.
And I kind of appreciated that. And that's something that's been kind of missing, I think, in the JavaScript world, where you just like Wild West, and you can take this framework and do whatever you want.
Yep.
So you can take 20 Angular React apps, and they're all structured very, very different on where things are at, how you set them up, how you actually run and build the application.
Yeah.
Vue is kind of some of that, but they took the good concepts of Angular and the good concepts of React.
Mm-hmm.
I squished it together in a framework that makes my mind and my heart happy. so you get some of the lightness that you get from React without trying to do everything in JavaScript. And then you get kind of the semantic attributes that you would get in Angular that are now in Vue. And if you don't have a really heavy dev background and are coming from like a jQuery world where you're just dumping in a jQuery file, and building from that in a JavaScript file, but your HTML and your CSS is separate, then you kind of bridges that gap. It's a smaller learning curve.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So you would say it's easier for, say, somebody to jump into that rather than go full React, learn JSX and all that?
It's because you're essentially just learning some of the ways that Vue does things in JavaScript, and you're just writing over JavaScript kind of inside of Vue.
Oh, okay.
Your HTML is mostly the same. You're adding in some specific attributes, but it's still just HTML.
Mm-hmm.
And your CSS lives where CSS should always live, which is in a CSS.
Yeah, my understanding of Vue is there's a separation of concerns more than there are with React, where React tries to hold everything, while Vue is like kind of separates it out. And like you said, it's like similar to Angular too, where Angular has the NG.
And
where you can, in the HTML, you put the attributes in.
That's exactly right. So instead of like ng-whatever, you have v-whatever.
Yeah.
So they took that from Angular, which is great. They took the way they did, which is
appropriate.
They modified it. And then they took how React was really doing components in JavaScript and adopted that partially and just made Vue.
I'm
curious about this. I've had this conversation with people before, but do you feel that Vue, React, Angular, Ember are kind of the jQueries, shall we say, of the day before web components become like a native thing for the browsers, where eventually they're going to just be replaced by just building a web component?
It may get there. We've tinkered with some of the Google stuff around web components, and they're really different. It feels like web components is like a re-envisioning of how an iframe works.
Yeah.
Where you're essentially doing a modern iframe. Yeah, well, it's not an iframe, but everything is wrapped within that web component. So you can't get into that web component unless it's part of that. Yeah, which is like, it's just like an iframe, really.
No, that's fair to say.
Yeah.
So how did you get started with Vue? Did you start with like the docs or did you go like through using the CLI, like the command line interface, or?
So the way that I learned is to commit to giving a talk at a conference and
like, give a talk at a conference.
So yeah, that's, I've been wanting to for a while, and this is the thing that kind of forces me to, I have to speak tomorrow. I should put something together.
I think just what he did is he put on his glasses and he could see it and he learned it.
He had the view.
Well, how would you recommend to others to learn Vue in the fastest way possible, especially if you're rapidly prototyping? Like,
right.
That's something that you're iterating really quickly on, and you know, is that learning curve going to be a challenge for somebody who's going to want to prototype that quickly?
For me personally, the learning curve for Vue was like a half a day, really, to just go in and understand what I can use. So it's realistic for somebody to be able to take an existing application or existing component library, use that exact HTML, use the CSS that they already have, dump in Vue, starting on the attributes that they need to, and then kind of rewriting some of the JavaScript side of that.
If you have some understanding.
Yeah, if you do. I mean, if you don't know, if JavaScript's not your forte, then there's some extra learning that you probably need to do to understand everything that's going on with Vue. From a learning standpoint, Sarah Drasner has numerous tutorials online, some that are more one-on-one based, which is like how to get up and running. That's what I've been using over the past few weeks to kind of understand what's going on. So that's been really helpful. She also goes into a lot more depth around like UI-specific stuff,
mm-hmm.
with animations and interactions that are really, really good. There's some pretty solid management within Vue on how those animations work. I think there's Vue Mastery, which is a new website that's come out. And then Egghead has a lot of really in-depth Vue tutorials around building applications, dealing with state. So there's a wide gamut of stuff that's out there now that makes it pretty easy to learn. And if you've never worked with a framework before, like React or Angular, and you're coming from a jQuery world, it's going to make a lot more sense than trying to learn Angular or trying to pick off a React.
Yeah, that makes absolutely
sense.
Yeah, and they have good documentation on their website.
But their documentation is fantastic, yeah.
Amazing. I really love the comparison part, which I think that's my favorite part of the Vue documentation, is like, all right, well, I know you've heard about React, so let's tell you the differences between React and Vue, and like why choosing Vue over React for certain projects is better, right? And they do that for every single popular framework.
It's solid,
and it is beautiful. I've never seen documentation like that where it. Pardon?
Oh, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I think they have to kind of do that in order to.
Traction.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say compete, but to get traction. Otherwise, everybody's so, I think, on that React train, and it's hard to, once companies start getting into that, people start thinking, well, they want to hire React developers, not so much JavaScript developers, or, oh, great, that's great, you know Vue, but we're a React shop, sorry.
Yeah. And that's the difference. I mean, if I've always leaned to hire really good front-end devs, because we do such a wide mix of stuff, and you have to be able to pick up Angular or React or the new version of Angular or Vue or whatever comes out.
It seems like every month there's a new version of each.
All the time.
And we change everything, but it's better.
yeah, exactly. And you have to have a good foundation or front end understanding. And I think they're doing a good job building on what you already know and then trying to build a kind of a parallel between like a React and a Vue or an Angular and a Vue. They kind of reminds you of some of the other tutorials for folks that got into JavaScript through jQuery, and then were trying to branch out and really understand the hood on JavaScript. So there are some good, like, jQuery to JavaScript translation layers around what some of those things could be. So it feels like Vue's doing a similar thing.
Yeah. Well, what would you say for people who have actually not started with jQuery, how would they transition into Vue? Because a lot of people who are learning how to code now, jQuery is, for them, it's something of the past, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they're not starting off. They're not necessarily starting with jQuery. Yeah. They're starting with just vanilla JS and then moving on up.
That's a good framework.
Vanilla JS. JS is
it's the best.
Favorite.
It's one of my
JS.
Favorite flavors.
I love it.
I like chocolate personally.
Chocolate JS.
Mm-hmm.
Someone needs to do that.
Chocolate JS,
not JS.
I wonder what it would. It would probably be vanilla JS, but like replace the chocolate, and then it'd just be like dark, dark theme. Anyway.
I think to answer your question, there's a lot. If you've been doing it for a while, there's a lot you have to unlearn, which is probably that's where I struggle.
That's Nestor's talk. Unlearning.
Yeah, so, because there's a lot of like get off my line, like separation of concerns, and I'm never gonna mix all this stuff. Everything's semantic, and like it still needs to be. I'm sure there's a talk titled that already. But folks going into it now, that they don't have a decade and a half, couple decades of knowledge, they have to a certain degree unlearn to pick up the new frame. So kind of starting fresh. The gap, I think, is they're also missing some of that knowledge around semantics and structure and kind of how we got to this point. But that's something that they can learn. And I think it's easier to get them ramped up on starting with just little JavaScript and choosing a framework like Vue. And then just through being involved in the industry, they pick up that other knowledge. So they're learning new stuff and not unlearning a lot of stuff in the past.
Yeah, that makes sense. What is the amount of prototypes, like iterations, that you have made with learning Vue just recently?
So with Vue or anything, it's really a lot, because there's a lot of trial and error.
Sure.
Some of that's just being stubborn. I'm going to get it and fix it, and there's like a typo somewhere.
Right. It's a semicolon.
Exactly. there's that, comma, whatever. And like you don't really know all the syntax yet, so you're like, I think this is it. And you're like a word off. Okay, I've been fighting that for an hour. there's a lot of iterations on learning the concepts, and that's the easiest or the best thing for me is to like hop on a code pen because you have much smaller chunks of code that you can work on, and you can fork it, you can try and recreate it, to try and learn some of those concepts kind of piece by piece. One of the things I like about what QMastery is doing is they're doing kind of those interactive tutorials where you're learning a concept and you're doing the concept in their emulator, I guess, and then you kind of see the output and see kind of what's going on. That's really helpful.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
What would you say people don't know about Vue that they really should, that might be, I don't want to say a selling point, but maybe something that they didn't consider that, well, you know what, I can't do that in Vue.
I'm not...
Just scream at them, you're wrong.
You can do anything you want in Vue. So my knowledge is a little bit limited.
From your point of view.
From my point of view.
Yeah!
For sure.
Yeah!
So some of the things that I think are beneficial is you're still tightly coupled to the DOM in how you're building out your HTML. So you still have a really nice semantic layer. So you're not going to write everything in JavaScript, which may make some of the JavaScript folks unhappy, but that's the way it's supposed to be, JavaScript people, separation. But learning that, and then there's a really good set of interactivity add-ons that you can do in Vue.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to, prototypes now, especially if you're, prototypes in general, they're less about being static visually.
Right.
They're a lot more interactive. Vue has a lot of helpers built in that make that a little bit easier. And it seems like Sarah has a blog post about this. I may get this wrong, but I think it's right. She can correct me wrong. Or you can read her blog post. We'll give you the opinion. But there's better management to handle how things are, how components are loading within the framework. So when you're trying to do more of a, like a flash type load in piece by piece, it handles that so much easier than trying to do it in jQuery or even React. So that's where I'm trying to get to. How does all that actually work?
Gotcha.
To build some stuff.
I think I saw a tweet about that on a CodePen the other day.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot going on in that space specifically, that slice of all the frameworks, which is how can we add in and add better interactivity into what we're doing to guide the user specific directions, just trying to make these applications or products more engaging.
What do you think about investing in one framework or another as far as getting things done quickly? Like if you have certain projects and your team said to you, you know what, we have this project, we can do it in pretty much any framework. What's going to make the most economic sense?
That is a good question.
Very good, very good. What, in your view, what would be the best one?
How many times can we do it? Yes.
That's going to be like one of those big, it depends.
Uh-huh.
So in our case, we're a consultancy, so we build something and go away. We don't really maintain it. So a lot of times our technology decision, which is a great space to be in.
Well, I'll preface that. Yeah. Let's say that it's not something that you're going to be maintaining or they're contracting you in the near future to maintain. Just something for you to get out the door as quickly as you can, what makes the most economic sense as far as maybe even just they all would do the same great job, but as far as profit.
I think if we had to start from ground zero. I would probably do Vue.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because the translation in doing Vue is much lower. Like the barrier entry is much lower. Like there's not, I don't have to download Node. Mm-hmm. I don't have to learn.
That's a big.
Figure out what all these dependencies are.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to do any type of I don't really have to do any type of a build system. I don't want to. So I don't really need a webpack. I don't need anything like that. If I'm trying to do something out the door, I don't need that. I need HTML files. I need CSS. I need JavaScript, and I need an API or data somewhere.
Okay, so let me that I think those are good enough answers. I think that answers that. So let me ask something on top of that.
Yeah.
Say, what's the next level of if you wanted to do something a little bit more? What would bring you to the next point where you would say, you know what, actually, we do need to do that React. What's some of the things that you can't do in Vue?
That's a good question. So large enterprise applications that scale, I'm not sure yet. I haven't come across any large like enterprise-level Vue apps right now. I know that Angular and React are pretty well embedded in folks.
Yeah.
We'll do those, and they've been able to handle some fairly complex stuff. Some of that becomes much more difficult, I think, from a component level when you're doing large components with child components or grandchild components, and there's a mixture of props or state that you're passing up and down.
Right, yeah.
React handles that okay, but it gets really dicey the more complex that it gets. What I'm not sure is how well something like a Vue would handle that. The way they handle props and state seems to be a little bit cleaner than how React does it. So that's a good question. I'm curious. I'm waiting for that client to go, you can use whatever you want. We're going to try Vue and just see where it starts to break down.
Would you say in like trying to manage state or props and that bringing in a MobX or a Redux kind of a state management tool would be really helpful?
Yeah, I think you almost have to now. So we use Redux a lot on the React side, and like it works. There's a steeper learning curve to understand how all that stuff works together. Vue has their own version that I don't recall, Nux or something like that. Or
Vuex,
something like that. Yeah. There's a couple things out there. One is like a CLI application generator. I think that's Nux.
Yes.
And then the other one is something I haven't messed with yet. So they all have something like that. So I'm just curious on the Vue side. Where's the point where it starts to break down?
Yeah, I would love to know that too.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're almost going to get there, and you're going to be like,
we're getting
guess
there.
What?
This is the exact point, time of day.
Yes. Thunder Nerds, I figured it out. Well, you definitely have to let us know when you do figure it out and tweet to us and be like, hey, we figured out where it breaks down.
Yeah.
We're going to figure out the solution. We'll let you know. Because
I'll let you
know.
We'll figure it out.
You know what I want to know is I want to know why cupcakes and root beer, and what led to you being a cupcake and root beer?
So I don't drink.
Okay.
Don't do coffee, anything like that.
Oh, no coffee. Wow.
No coffee. A lot of juice, water, milk, root beer.
Root beer.
You must be a very healthy individual.
I drink a lot of root beer and cupcakes. I eat a lot of cupcakes.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
I try and counterbalance with water, but no exercise, which is probably the gap.
Oh, yeah. You
so
need some
I should probably exercise a little bit.
Yeah. No running?
Wait,
no.
Do you walk places?
I think about it.
Okay.
I walk to my garage.
Perfect.
That's a walk.
It is.
Makes
it's
sense.
Like... 10 feet.
Yeah, I'm down.
It works. It keeps me like.
What's the root beer and cupcake of choice?
So root beer of choice. There's
that's a provocative question, Brian.
A brewery company called Cicero Beverage.
It's called what?
Cicero Beverage. They're like Central U.S.
Okay.
They make a root beer that is a salted caramel root beer.
What? Mm. Is it from Chicago?
That gum.
That's
from
Chicago.
Good.
And it is.
I don't like the classic
Chicago.
I do enjoy classic root beer.
Okay.
But that's my go-to.
Okay.
But he's a root beer connoisseur.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's the that's like number one favorite. Second one is from a group called Bundaberg out of Australia. So they do like a ginger root beer or ginger beer.
Ooh.
And they do
a
root beer.
Ginger.
Yeah, it's good.
I love ginger.
And their root beer has more of a licorice overtones to it.
Oh,
so it's really good.
Lost me now.
So
got
I'm,
me there.
I'm a black licorice fan.
Me too. Blackjack gum.
The same.
Devil's candy.
Do you enjoy the blackjack gum?
I do. It's amazing.
I love blackjack gum.
And then third favorite, there's actually a brewery in Mooresville, North Carolina that creates kind of, I don't know, it's like a mix of like root beer and licorice type flavors.
That's just
good.
Went in a path I don't like.
cupcakes, red velvet with cream cheese icing.
Do you do the classic red velvet or is it red dye red velvet?
Classic, definitely classic.
So with beets.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good, really good.
Yeah.
Stuffed or not?
Not a huge stuff fan.
Okay.
So there's a cupcake shop in Columbia, South Carolina. I think it was Cupcrazy. Maybe it was Cupcrazy. But then they do a lot of like gourmet cupcakes. They're
busy. And my girlfriend has her own bakery called Grateful Bakes, name drop.
cupcakes.
Yeah, she makes me. I'll show you after the show. She makes some amazing cupcakes.
She does. That's awesome.
I'm very very cupcake filled myself.
I'm a huge fan. I would get super fat for my wife. Cupcakes.
And I lean towards ginger beer over root beer, but root beer probably is my second favorite.
Yeah.
So
ginger root beer is really good, like ginger ale and anything like that. So.
Mm-hmm. Tidal Boar and St. Pete. While you're here, try to find some Tidal Boar ginger beer. That makes them amazing. And it's like real. It's not they don't use any artificial flavoring. It's straight up. Ginger. And,
oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, it's incredible.
But there's a couple in Charlotte that will do kind of their own ginger beer. It's very opaque.
When it's real ginger, the flavor is so different from the artificial.
Oh, it is. It's so good.
It's so much better. But you're married how long?
Married a while.
What?
A while. We have a kid in college.
Oh,
oh my God. Wow. You do not look old enough to have a kid in college.
Yeah. She's junior year.
Oh, gee, okay.
So she's doing a web dev program at BYU. She's actually working at a startup out in Idaho Falls.
Doing an internship or?
No, like
working?
A little actual job.
Wow.
Yeah. Makes React on top of Rails.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Nice. React Rails is like my dream stack.
She's rocking and rolling. Like she's paying her bills.
Wow,
that's
amazing.
Like
really
a
weird
phone bill, I think, and that's
nice.
It.
God, I'll
say super happy.
I'll say again, you look way too young to have a child that young.
It's all the root beer and cupcakes.
Yeah. So
down to youth.
No exercise.
Root beer.
Drink all the water.
And you know, no coffee, no alcohol, but root beer cupcakes.
And you could look like this.
And you could look
exactly.
like this. Take it easy.
Look at
facial
that hair.
Curly hair.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
He's basically Antonio Banderas.
The beard is from the root beer, and the hair is because of cupcakes.
Pretty much. Just little swirls on top.
Yeah. You saw where I was going with that. Yeah. So, tell us a little bit about your hometown. Like, what is it? Like, what do you...
I grew up in... what has been dubbed the fire hydrant capital of the world.
Oh, really? Where is that?
Albertville, Alabama.
I knew
why
that.
Is it called the fire hydrant capital?
Because they make more fire hydrants than any other city in the world.
Yep.
What?
So Mueller, the company, is based
there.
Told if you walk around, almost any city with a fire hydrant is going to say Mueller.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Albertville, Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's... Having come from there, I feel like you should know this. So this is the test for you. What are the colors mean? Do you know the difference?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, he doesn't.
Not even a clue.
Oh, they're going to be so ashamed.
They're going to kick me out. They're going to revoke my Alabama citizenship.
The colors apparently are based on the pressure.
Okay.
So red is apparently not high pressure. I think
red.
Blue is
yellow.
Yeah, which is interesting. So when you see them, like, make sure when you get your house, you move around one that has a yellow one.
Yeah.
And so,
no, I had no idea.
So now everyone knows the fire hydrant.
That's right. That we have a silver fire hydrant downtown.
Oh, right.
Low
pressure.
No pressure.
There's no water. It's
like
just like a sink.
Yeah, you actually just
sprinkle the water on there. I don't know if this is doing anything.
Yeah, it's actually just a, like a little puddle inside. Of
Yeah.
So then you move from there. I mean, tell us a little bit about briefly about your
family. Yeah. So, born and raised in Alabama, lived on a farm. Cousins, aunts, uncles, all nearby.
Lived on a farm. Did you farm yourself? Like, what type of farm?
It was like we had cattle.
Oh, okay.
And then
beef.
They did. Yeah, they were for beef.
Tasty murder.
Not milking cattle. We did corn, soybean, cotton.
Oh, okay.
And then we just kind of hung out. There was nobody there to hang out with, so it was just
the cows.
There were the cows.
They're really
so
cute.
Cows
are cute.
They will squish you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Did you ever walk up to a cow and get real close to it and say, "View"?
That's
the best one yet. Best pun yet.
No, that was not funny.
Best pun.
So you grew up there. Did you go to Charlotte for college, or did you?
No,
you
no. So I Alabama was there for a while. Did a community college there.
Okay.
Spent a couple years in South America. That's where
I was. Yeah, you mentioned that.
So Ecuador was a country.
Okay. Is that where you met your wife?
That's where I met my wife.
Oh, nice.
So she's from Ecuador. And then after that, went back to Alabama for a bit. Went to Utah. That's where I went to college.
Oh, nice.
So I went to BYU.
Oh.
And then from BYU, got tired of living out west. I'm going to move to the south, but not the south. Like, not Alabama, the south.
Yeah.
It's a lovely state. But I don't want to live there.
Apparently, Collins has been telling me beautiful parks there.
It's gorgeous.
The northern
it's gorgeous.
Part of Alabama is really nice.
And then randomly picked Shaw on a map. Probably influenced me in BHM.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like,
Yeah. Like, didn't have a job here. It's like, I want to go to the south. No to Alabama. Definitely no to Mississippi. No to Tennessee.
Maybe to Florida, you know.
Florida doesn't count. It's like
Florida doesn't south.
It's
not
south.
Inland.
Yeah.
It's like an island that's stuck to the United States.
Pretty much. So yeah, pick Charlotte. Been there for about 10 years now.
Nice. Any plans on leaving?
No, not right now.
Yeah.
We have debated going back to Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, later on.
What's it like there while you're there? Did you?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. So we were there last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Family vacation. It's inexpensive. It's right on the equator, Ecuador. Right? So you have the Amazon, which is gorgeous. You have the Andes Mountains, which is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
What's the weather like? Is it really hot there or no?
Well, it depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
So but because we're on the equator, the seasons don't really change. So you have 6 months of just hot if you're on the coast, and 6 months of hot and rainy, depending on where you're at. But if you're in the Andes,
really
you have
cold.
12 months of like 65, 75 degree weather all year round. which is phenomenal landing. It's a dry heat.
Yeah.
Because you're 10,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah. It sounds like Puerto Rico is very much like that too. Most of Puerto Rico is like super hot and humid and gross. But then there's also like Ujunque, which is like a rainforest that's in the mountains.
Yeah,
I love it. It's beautiful there.
Oh my gosh, it feels beautiful
there.
It's like 50 degrees or 60 degrees. And you're like, I could live here.
Yeah, people go up into the mountains and go into the water.
Yeah,
we were there earlier this year, I think. Yeah. And yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. So we stayed at the beach when I was there. And that's the beaches are wonderful. And they use American currency, so that makes it really easy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use US dollar for the currency.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So the transition is really easy.
Convenient.
You just gotta move. That's
Okay. That's the plan. If I could ever convince the partners to let me
work
remote and still pay me the same.
Okay. Let him work remote. In our view,
happy
we
workers.
Believe he should work remote.
Yes.
Oh, geez, Brian, that's a bad pun.
Oh, let him view.
But yes, a happy worker is a productive worker.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'd be happy to work remote.
So even better work.
And his wife has family there, right?
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah,
so everyone
let family matters in company.
Oh my gosh, I almost didn't ask you about this.
Yes,
father of the SAS logo?
Maybe, yeah.
Tell us about that.
It's a long time ago. A few years ago, Chris Epstein did kind of like an open tweet.
Yeah.
Looking to rebrand the SAS site and just redo it. They have like a really old logo. So I just raised my hand like,
I'll do it.
I got some time. Why not? It ended up being myself, Gina Bolton, and Mike Parento. Gina led the redesign effort on the website. I kind of tackled the logo. I am not like a handwritten logo designer guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure anybody that does that as a professional, like, ooh, that's kind of gross. But it was fun. Like the early versions are up on Dribbble. They look terrible. And we eventually landed on the logo that you see now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a blast.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
What a neat thing to have in your cap.
This is like my one claim to fame.
Yeah.
I guess outside of root beer.
Do you just wear a shirt that says that often?
I would have the logo that says, I made this.
Yeah.
They used to do a conference lead in when it was like Sooner, and SAS was still like a really big deal.
Yeah.
I think it's still,
still a big deal.
Oh, God.
It's still pretty big.
It's fading with the advent of CSS variables, things like that.
Yeah, but I mean, there's still so much. Well, I mean, that's a completely other conversation we can have. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would literally like iron that on my clothes, like pajamas,
my
bathrobe.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right. You know,
I should get up like a little like line that says like some kind of like partial of like inventor or creator of logo or something like that. Yeah.
So like the laptop, there'll be like a SAS logo and a few logo and we'll just keep branding myself.
Oh my God.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And the root beer.
Wait, is that why you're involved with View? Is you're hoping that they'll be like, you need a logo? You'd be like, I could do it.
It's like a shout.
It's like
a tattoo on my arm.
It's like
you're that.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be the presentation. You walk in and be like, here it is right there.
It's so good. I made it
perfect. That could be a new thing. Or like, yeah, I'm a brand designer. Just have your portfolios on your body.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But then like iterations would be terrible.
I'm
gonna
get
this job. I thought we could do this, but I decided this would look better.
Yeah. Really commit to your work. Well, I think with that said, we're getting to the end here. Hey, how can people get a hold of you and learn more about you?
Sure. So there are basically no Berman painters in the world. There's my father, who's also a Berman painter.
Uh-huh.
Senior. Junior.
I'm you're the third.
Not even a third.
Oh.
I'm a third Berman, but my first name's different.
Oh. Okay.
Berman's my middle name.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You care to share your first?
Matthew.
Ah.
Matthew Berman.
I like it.
Berman.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
So you can search for Berman Painter.
Yeah.
And like the first 20 pages of Google is just
me.
There's nobody else.
All right.
It's awesome for SEO. Amazing. So you can find me on Twitter. I do office hours every Friday morning from 7 to 9. So if anybody wants to talk.
For everybody?
Okay.
Whoever, yeah.
So if you want to view Berman Painter, go to Google and search for him.
Yes.
And he'll show up on the SERPs.
And what are your office hours again? Just
7 to 9 a.m. every Friday morning.
man.
EST?
I'm going to book it every Friday.
Eastern time, yeah.
Like,
and you can. You totally can.
I just want to talk.
They're locked into 10-minute segments. They use a service called Office Hours Ohio.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you can sign up online, pick a slot, and it'll count you down and then cut you off after 10 minutes.
Nice. That's
awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
So I can talk to a lot of people on a Friday. And it forces us to really get to the crux of what they want.
Yeah.
That's
I love
really
that.
Cool.
What a good idea.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
A curly haired friend.
Right. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Thunder Nerds. Please follow us on Twitter at ThunderNerdsHo, on Facebook at facebook.com/ThunderNerds. Go to thundernerds.io for our website and find links to our YouTube channel and Instagram from there. Please send us any ideas or comments to connect@thundernerds.io. And if you would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/ThunderNerds, or send us an email if you'd like to sponsor the show. Lastly, please remember to go to iTunes to give us a like or review. We honestly and sincerely appreciate it.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?